Welcome to ITB's Travel Hero podcast. I'm your host, Charlotte Lamp-Davies, with management consultancy Upright Approach. Today, I'm delighted to welcome Charuta Fatnis, who's Senior Vice President of Focusrite. And we're going to dive into research topics concerning the travel industry. Charuta, a warm welcome to you.
Hi, Charlotte. And thank you to you and to ITB Berlin for having me on this podcast. I really enjoyed it last year, and I'm so glad you invited me back.
So we are the ones who are excited to have you here again. This podcast comes straight off the back of Focusrite Europe, which took place in Barcelona last week. Congratulations on a fantastic conference.
Thank you.
It was fantastic. And I'm excited to discuss some of the research results presented at the conference with you today. But before we get started, maybe tell us a little bit about your role at Focusrite and how you came to join the company.
Focusrite is a global travel research company. We focus purely on travel distribution, travel technology, and the intersection of that, how it applies to the travel industry at large. And my role here is that I lead the research team. So all the research that we put out, basically, my team is responsible for that. My background actually includes working across sort of different sectors in the industry. I've worked in the airline industry. I've worked in business travel. I had a prior stint at Focusrite before rejoining about 5 years ago. You know, it was just in time for the pandemic. Yes. That's my background, and I'm really excited to discuss some of the research that is presented, that was presented at the conference with you today.
That's great. As I said, it was really rather spectacular to hear some of the many research presentations last week, and obviously one of the key reasons why people come to the Focusrite conference. 2024 is certainly set to be another record-breaking year for travel. What does your data show us here?
2024 is set to be just another phenomenal year for travel. And that's following on from 2023 when we were using all these superlatives as well. It will be the first full year of travel globally after every country lifted restrictions. You'll recall China, of course, lifted its restrictions last January, but it takes a little bit of time for people to plan and book travel and companies to restore capacity, staffing, etc. So really 2024 is set to be that first full year post-pandemic. And talking about numbers, 2023, we finally saw gross bookings, which is how we measure the size of the travel industry here at Focusrite. We saw gross bookings exceed 2019 levels. So there was a great recovery just across the globe, $1.5 trillion with a T in 2023. And that's against sort of 1.4-ish in 2019. 2024 certainly looks like it's going to exceed that. We are projecting that we'll end the year at about $1.6 trillion. And that's forecast to continue growing. The other thing that I think it's worth pointing out is how segment share has normalized. So back in 2019 and in the years prior to that, air used to comprise the highest share of gross bookings. Over 40% of total gross bookings used to be attributed to air, and then hotel used to be second at 35 or so. And that completely flipped during the COVID years. Obviously, we just weren't flying anywhere. Now, in 2024, that'll, get back to the way that it used to look. So air will be back on top. 2024 is finally that year when we just can stop saying pre-pandemic, post-pandemic, and look forward to what's to come.
So the indication are basically that we are still traveling. It seems like we simply can't get enough of it, right? However, I guess it's important to point out that there is a lot going on in the world, and there are loads and loads of uncertainties, to say the least. Elections are coming up in the UK and France shortly, and then in the US later this year. The war is sadly continuing in Ukraine, and as is the conflict in the Middle East. How is this impacting travel from your perspective?
You'd think that given all that's happening around the world, we'd see some major impacts on travel. Now, that just we're not seeing that, certainly not in the larger markets. You know, there's some regional impact. We saw Eastern Europe, for example, had a tough couple of years. But even in Eastern Europe now, we're expecting that the market will exceed pre-pandemic levels in 2024. We expect to see a bump in France due to the Olympics over the summer. But that was already baked in before the elections were announced to a certain extent, right? So we're not really, again, seeing that anything that we could say. And I'll say this, we've been talking about economic uncertainty for a while now. The recession, you know, that we talked about didn't really materialize. So maybe there's a little bit of sort of consumer fatigue there. Some of the more recent data is starting to show in the US that consumers are starting to pull back. But if I look at our intent data from our most recent European survey, for example, we asked people who've traveled in the last 12 months whether they would travel again over the next 12 months. And overwhelmingly, the response is yes. It's almost 100% of travelers across the UK, France, Germany, Spain, Italy who are saying, yes, we will continue to travel. We're not really expecting to make any adjustments to our travel. So they're not cutting the number of trips. They're not cutting down their spend. They're not taking shorter trips. None of that. And we saw the same thing in the US as well the last time we did the survey. So really nothing seems to be deterring travel. And if I look at sort of the industry numbers, you know, demand on the air side, IATA's last numbers, their last press release on the demand side said that air has been growing for a consecutive 36 months. So we've had 3 years of growth in airline demand. And most airlines are indicating that the summer is looking very strong. Hotel bookings are showing a little bit of softening, but that's also, it's very nuanced there because we're seeing a softening on the lower end of the market, the budget and the mid-scale, which is where I think people are feeling a little bit of pinch when it comes to the higher cost of, you know, just everything. But upscale, luxury, those things are continuing to remain strong. So all in all, I think it's looking good, at least for the foreseeable future at this stage.
What about this sustainability issue? I mean, is it impacting travelers' decisions at all? Or do we still see more talk than action? I'm interested in your take on this.
Yes, I mean, you can't really escape sort of the, you know, focus on sustainability, certainly within the travel industry. It's interesting because, you know, we look at things from the consumer side quite a bit. And I think it's important to define sustainability because there are so many different aspects to this. And unless you are sort of immersed in it, an ordinary traveler, general traveler doesn't really understand how much that umbrella of sustainability covers, right? They think of it just as climate change and the environmental impact. There's a less of an understanding about the cultural, social, economic impacts around sustainability as well. So definitely it's a topic that is, that's worth discussing. I'm so glad you brought that up. Whether it makes a difference to travelers' decisions or not, our data certainly shows that it doesn't seem to be making a difference to a majority of travelers. They're continuing to travel, you know, and when we kind of probe a little more, it's not that travelers don't care or that, you know, they're kind of saying they care, but then, you know, they really don't. It is just that they don't understand what the breadth of sustainability is and what contributes to sustainable travel. They don't know how to action their values. And so, again, our survey data shows that most travelers are really mindful about things like not littering, avoiding single-use plastics, recycling. You know, like you and I know, those are things that we see in our everyday lives and those sort of carry over. So that, I think, aspect is really well understood. But if we kind of ask them, you know, would you avoid a destination because it didn't follow sustainable practices? Well, then the answer is not a chance, right? Not even, we barely get into the double digits in a couple of countries where they say, yeah, we'd avoid that. But most people, you know, kind of say, no, it's a holiday and I'm going to go where I want to go. So there is a gap between good intentions and the actions that people actually take when they consider travel.
So it seems that many of us are happy to bring our good habits with us into whatever destinations we choose, be it, as you say, recycling is a good example. But whether or not the countries that we're visiting sometimes are at the peak of thinking about sustainability issues, that bothers us maybe a little bit less. Peak summer season upon us. Crowds are building already. You'd think we were there already. We're not, apparently, but Barcelona was certainly busy last week. Other hotspots, of course, are filling up, expecting huge numbers again this year. From sustainability to over-tourism, how are we to address this better, this over-tourism topic with the travellers? Because something sort of needs to give. I mean, I don't expect you personally to have all the answers to this, but again, the perspective from Focusrite Research is a... What are your thoughts, Charuta?
Over tourism, it's probably the topic that we most talk about when we talk about sustainability within the industry. And there are so many stakeholders across the travel ecosystem who are impacted at some level. You know, travelers are impacted by crowding, DMOs, local residents, businesses, travel providers, just about everybody is kind of involved in that conversation or needs to be. Now, again, looking at it from the data side, as we do, you know, 4 to 6, depending on the country, in every 10 travelers, so 40 to 60% across different markets, they express concern that crowding is going to impact, you know, their ability to enjoy a destination. And there's not really a difference when kind of you ask them about, well, you know, how much will it be for climate change? So again, 40, I want to say slightly more, but not hugely more proportions, 40 to 60% say climate change, you know, will also impact their enjoyment. So when you ask it about enjoyment of a destination, it's nearly equal and travelers are thinking about it. What's interesting is younger people tend to feel more strongly about it. So they're on the higher end of the scale when it comes to saying, yes, you know, crowding is definitely... going to mean that I don't enjoy as much as I would if there weren't this many people around. But you talked about the gap between talk and action earlier, and we see that even when it comes to overcrowding. So while most travelers say that they frequently seek to go to places that are off the beaten path, off the main tourist trail, when it comes to the actioning of that, only a quarter say, oh, I wouldn't go to a destination because it's too crowded. So we see that gap between the talk and the actual action right there. Having said that, you know, if there is one issue that I think can be tackled, should be tackled, because sustainability, as you know, is a big, big and difficult issue to tackle. But over-tourism certainly seems to be one that can and should be tackled a little more easily than perhaps some of the bigger issues. And that's mainly because crowding really impacts tourists' ability to have fun. You know, it's much easier to solve a problem when it's impacting you personally because of that direct effect. So... you know, I think definitely the industry is sort of focused on the issue. And I think travelers more and more are starting to feel it. And hopefully something will come off it.
This is a massive, massive issue, of course. I think it leads me on to think that we often read and hear about the impact of social media. Influencers are causing a crash amount of people to turn up at any destination that they might be favoring at any given time. We saw it after the TV series White Lotus, I believe, which led to this huge increase, you know, in visitors to Sicily as a destination. Again, very briefly, just what's your take on this? Because this is not necessarily helping us.
Yes, they do. I mean, you know, there's the good and the bad. It definitely is a mixed bag. On the one hand, you know, we don't see a lot of travelers saying that, hey, we chose to go someplace because it was famous. But it's also sort of a little more nuanced than that, right? Overall, social media doesn't play a big role in the decision to go to a certain destination. But then the data underneath that, when you go and sort of break it apart, the trend for people to visit a certain place because they've seen it on social media, because they've seen it in a TV series or something that they streamed, that's being driven by younger people. So those who are in the 18 to 34 age group. And naturally, they're some of the most engaged on social media. So not a surprise. It's, you know, a little concerning also that more than a third of these younger travelers say they are influenced by social media. Now, imagine in a few years when these users, those are, you know, young in that younger age group. Now they're a little older. We've got an even more tech savvy, more social media sort of engaged younger population who are going to come into the traveling base. And so if we see social media influencing older and younger travelers, and that goes across the spectrum, we're storing up for a bigger issue in the future. And I think that is something that we need to be very, very mindful of and start to think about how we're going to deal with it now.
Mm. Yeah, I really couldn't agree more. I think also, you know, the way we're influenced is obviously tenfold. You know, people see other people's lifestyles, and that in its own right will influence them as well. And that's something else that actually impacts, you know, where we go and where we travel. What are, if we sort of jump down to that, what are sort of the lessons maybe for the industry to take from what consumers are doing in terms of their behavior? E.g. mostly not changing their behavior an awful lot. I mean, I know there's a lot of talk about collaboration. Maybe you can divulge on that one a little bit.
Collaboration, obviously, is super critical. I think the easiest thing, and one that we are seeing in various different forms, is setting some sort of fee or limiting the number of visitors or some kind of combination. Now, those don't necessarily work. Right. I think the early results from Venice show that the fee isn't really a deterrent at all. If it's going to cost you less than a cup of coffee, is that really going to stop people from going to see the famous canals? And then on the flip side of that, if you set that fee really high, are you discriminating? Are you saying only well-off tourists are welcome? So it's all kind of, you know, a little bit messy, if I can say that. And that's not to say those aren't viable options. They can work for some places, but then you also have to look at how you balance the local economy, the jobs that depend on tourism. So I think absolutely, you said it, and collaboration is the key. Working with all the stakeholders across the entire travel ecosystem, that's super, super important. You know, the Director General of Barcelona Tourism said at our conference, he was on a panel, and he said something really interesting about how they are thinking of it. And as you know, Barcelona, I mean, is just packed with tourists. And he said the way that they are thinking about it is how to change marketing, how to change their messaging, targeting certain interest groups and focusing on marketing to those groups rather than just saying, hey, come to Barcelona, you know, we're a great city. You change the messaging, you say, come for Picasso, and then you stay for the rest. So I thought that was really interesting to focus more on interest-based marketing. The other thing that I think, and this perhaps goes back to some of that social media, you know, the influencers, or even, I wouldn't say it's just influencers, I think some of the DMOs also do this, is, you know, we need to be more transparent in our marketing materials. We need to show things as they are. So if you shoot at an attraction and it's empty, or, you know, at a beautiful sunrise at 5 a.m. when there's nobody around. But then people tend to show up at 11 a.m. when it's so crowded that it's difficult to walk. It's really difficult to kind of, you know, just kind of juxtapose the two and say, hey, you know, you're marketing this, but this is the reality. So communication with travelers on where and when, you know, the crowds tend to be most sort of concentrated, so that travelers can take that decision about whether they want to go or they want to avoid it. We talked about off the beaten path destinations. So again, education about those alternatives, that you can go to places that have the same kind of perhaps beauty, or, you know, same kind of experience, without going to a destination that's super crowded. Of course, that also means that those alternatives need to have the infrastructure to accommodate tourist traffic as well. But, you know, the most important, I think, is just educate, educate, educate. We need to, as an industry, educate travelers about all the different facets of sustainability, about how they can contribute to initiatives, how they can take some personal responsibility, so that they aren't, you know, making that destination unlivable. So I'd say just, you know, most important, keep it simple, keep it easy. I mean, they're holiday makers at the end of the day. You know, you don't want to go on holiday and be stuck with a lot of rules, and you want to enjoy yourself. So you've got to also make it easy for travelers to have a good time.
Yeah, absolutely. There is a huge amount of work to be done still in this area, obviously, and I'm sure that at future conferences we'll still be talking about it, and hopefully we will be making progress. I did see the evidence of the new plan for Barcelona, because I spent an extra couple of days in the city, and it's very obvious that they are changing the messaging. So that's a good thing. We are nearly at the end of the podcast, but I'm thinking, let's just touch in on innovation. We'll have to, given that there is obviously all this talk about AI, it continues, and the transformation that it's going to bring. What do you think, maybe as your sort of final remarks on the podcast, what do you think we can expect in the next few years, and what does your data tell us?
You're asking me to make predictions about AI, which really, it's moving so fast that it's hard to make predictions, right? What I think I can say, and, you know, not rocket science or very insightful either, but AI has the power to be very disruptive. We'll see what form that takes. Based on what we've seen so far, a few areas that I think will definitely change in the near term, I think the marketing funnel, it's already being disrupted. I think advertising, you know, discoverability, even the way that, you know, we search for things, that's changing. If you've been on Google recently, those AI overviews now come up at the top, instead of the search links that we are also used to. So I think that is going to have a big impact in terms of companies' ability to rely on search traffic, or, you know, search to drive traffic, I should say. So that's definitely going to be one big impact. Travel planning and search on the consumer side, that's going to be impacted quite dramatically. I don't know if you saw the demos from Google OpenAI recently, just about how they're linking some of the things, right? Google, for example, is linking Gmail, Google Docs, Google Sheets, flights, hotels, things to do, maps, YouTube. I mean, all of that together, without you having to go and search 5, 6, 7 different things, create your own spreadsheet. I mean, that I think is going to dramatically alter how we search and plan our trips. And then just a little maybe further down the line, AI assistants or agents who can do tasks on our behalf, like shopping and booking. And we're starting to see now GPTs and copilots also, which automate workflows and processes. So perhaps a little more you know, on the back end, but we'll start to see these GPTs, copilots also become a more mainstream. One thing that I hear a lot in the conversations that we have is that, you know, the travel industry, you know, we're going to lose a lot of people. We're going to, you know, be impacted heavily. And travel, it's funny how travel always seems to be one of the use cases that that all of these big tech companies showcase, right? My take on that is that the travel industry has always been very, very resilient, right? Disruption brings new opportunities. We have a lot of very smart, very savvy people who work in this industry, who are interested in the industries, and there are a lot of opportunities. And ultimately, you know, the good thing about travel is that it is a human need. We travel because we want to connect with people, with their cultures. We want to go to different countries and see things that we don't see in our backyards every day. So I think humans will continue to travel. The experience might be just a little bit different, though. So that's my take on AI. We'll see. Maybe you can invite me back and we can talk about this again next year.
For sure. There's so much other stuff I also would have loved to talk to you about. But I think that really just sums up, you know, where we want to land with this particular podcast. There will always be a need to travel. There will always be a need for humans to connect. And in actual fact, I see all the new technology coming in as a massive positive in many, many, many ways. We just need to get our heads around it, I think. And that, my dear, brings us to the end of the podcast. So thanks for being just with us and the amazing insight. You really have been, of course, a true travel hero. Thank you.
Thank you, Charlotte. And thank you, ITB, for having me. I mean, you know, we have been partners with ITB for a number of years. We love that partnership. We look forward to continuing it. And as I said, I look forward to coming back here on this podcast if you'll have me.
You can find more Travel Hero podcasts on ITB's website. In July, we're excited to bring you two podcasts. We are back engaging with the LGBTQ community, and we'll also be looking at the overall topic of sustainability in travel with expert Jeremy Sampson in the hot seat. Big topics, and we are hoping you'll join us. Thanks again for being with us today. Safe travels.